All right, Matthew chapter 4 in your Bibles, please. Matthew 4. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. And if you found it and you're willing and able to, would you stand with me in honor of God's word, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. When the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, 'It is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, 'All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then saith Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only.'" I'm going to emphasize here, because we're not going to preach on it later very much. "Him only shalt thou serve." Amen? "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Title of the message this morning is simply this. I'm not some creative message titler, okay? But the devil has no victory if we do what Jesus did. The devil has no victory if we do what Jesus did. So let's pray and we'll get into it. Our God in heaven, Lord, we're thankful and grateful for this time we have together in your word. And so I pray you'd help me to say what needs to be said today, and that you'd help us to receive it. Lord, maybe somebody needs to be saved this morning. Maybe they need to accept you as a personal Lord and Savior. Maybe somebody needs to be encouraged or convicted. But Lord, you, we just ask you to do what you desire to do today in our hearts, and that we would give you free reign and be sensitive to how you work. And thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are in our series, "And We Beheld His Glory." And last week we looked at the baptism of Jesus Christ, and that he pleased the Father. And we'll be touching on a message Jesus preached there in a handful of weeks, as we get to another part in our series. But today we are going to consider the baptism of Jesus, or I'm sorry, the temptation of Jesus Christ. But as we looked last week at the baptism of Jesus Christ and that he pleased the Father, it ought to be our desire to learn from Christ how to please the Father. And he was humble. He was an example. He pictured the gospel, and we ought to allow God to humble us. Help me out this morning, please. We ought to follow Christ's example, and we ought to present the gospel to a lost and dying world. Amen? And here we are in Matthew 4, and we are looking at the temptation of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, and Mark 1, verses 12 and 13 also give us information about this same event in the life of Christ. Again, one gospel is not better or more correct than the other. It's another perspective that God used. Separate, they are true. Together, they are not more correct or less correct, but they are each a puzzle piece to the story. And again, some stories are found in one of the gospels, some more, but we'll be in Matthew today. When Jesus gets baptized, God blesses him. And the Bible says immediately, in verse 1 of chapter 4, the Spirit led him to the wilderness. Another word that's used in other places, driveth him into the wilderness. He immediately goes from a moment of blessing and mountaintop experience to a moment of trial and temptation. Anybody ever been there? Mountaintop experience, trial and temptation. There may be some who would say we only go through trials and hardships when we disobey God. And this is not accurate. Jesus went through significant trial, not just here. And the idea of prosperity gospel is wrong. Listen, if we disobey God, we will go through problems. But guess what? If we obey God, we will go through problems as well. In fact, Jesus went straight from obeying God to problems. Right? And he was just in the cool waters of the Jordan, and now he's in the desert. He was with a crowd of people, and now he's alone. He was around the praise of men, and now around the attacks of the devil. Kind of a stark contrast. And look at verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. I mean, after 40 days, the devil begins to come to him. Now, can you imagine fasting for 40 days? We're in a prayer and fasting month. Can you imagine fasting for 40 days? And it depends on what your fast is and how you're fasting. There's not one particular way to fast. And maybe we'll talk about that next week. I'm not going to announce that this time. My wife will get mad at me if I announce something and don't follow through with it. So maybe we'll talk about that next week, all right, in the Sunday school hour. But can you imagine fasting for 40 days? Now, that would be a struggle for me. How many say it would be a struggle for you? Yeah. I lost 75 pounds in around 2 months. What do you think about that, Brother Carlos? Yeah. That was very hard on me. In fact, I wouldn't recommend that weight loss program to anyone because I wasn't eating because I couldn't eat. The complications of COVID on my body would not function properly in so many ways. And that was one of them. So 40 days barely eating, I experienced that, but not by choice. 40 days not eating by choice, that would be hard. But that's what Jesus did. And we're not going to get into particulars of how he fasted and what exactly that meant, but he fasted for 40 days. The point is this. When I fasted, like actual meals, I notice I get a little cranky, right? No food, no fun. We like to call it, I'm hangry, right? Yeah. You know, Jesus was hungry. He was hungry. He was man. He was hungry. He's God's son, and he could do what he wanted, but he's man. He was hungry. In 40 days and nights, he's gone fasting. I want to sum up the temptations. I don't really want to focus too much time on the temptations themselves and all that's going on here. And the truth is we're gonna look at a little bit of application as we go through these temptations, but I'm not gonna spend a ton of time on the temptations themselves and how they might individually apply and how to overcome each one of these. But just a little bit of time here. But first we have the physical temptation. Temptation number one. Physical temptation. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now listen, I mean, we're talking about a temptation here. So I don't think he was talking about stale bread from Walmart, all right? I'm pretty sure that, you know, for something to be tempting, it would have to be, a temptation has two requirements. One, it has to be tantalizing to the flesh. And two, it has to be available, all right? If it's not available, it's not going to be as tempting as if it was available. Right? And if it's not tantalizing to the flesh, then, well, it's not really a temptation at all. Okay? And so, but he was being tempted. Now, it's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. It's a sin to give in the temptation. That's why he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. It doesn't mean that he saw something and Jesus wanted to do it every time that he saw it necessarily. Because somebody can try to tempt me with something and I have no desire for it. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be insulting to anybody, but and so I want to be careful how I say it, but there's certain things that I just don't have a desire for. Okay? There are certain things that maybe at one time in my life I might have, but I don't now. I'm sorry, and I don't mean to insult anybody, and I know that there are people who are trying to get over by God's help, and it's their strong desire to have victory over certain sins in their lives. And I pray for you, and maybe I'd love to help you if I can, and help counsel with you those things, and I don't belittle it, because sin is strong. It's a stronghold, isn't it? Come on, let's not be too condescending and judging on people, because you know the Satan knows your vices as well. I'm not excusing it. We're not okay with it. God's not okay with it. But we've got to be patient. Amen? And there were things that maybe used to be a temptation to me. And I'm not insulting anybody. I'm not even preaching on it right now. But, you know, let's just say, let's take, for example, smoking cigarettes. I have no desire for it. I don't care. If Charles came up to me and said, "Hey, Pastor, you want to drag?" I'd be like, "Not really. I don't. It's not tantalizing. It's not a temptation. You with me?" And so, it's not a temptation, but he tempted me. Okay? Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. There were things that, you know, just weren't even a thought for him, but still can be tempted by. And Satan comes to Jesus here with something that would be a temptation, something that would be something he would desire. You with me? Something that he would have wanted, because he's been fasting for 40 days. I guarantee you he's hungry. And he comes up and says, "Command that these stones be made bread." Not just any kind of bread. Not stale bread at Walmart. But it would be, maybe at that point, stale bread at Walmart would sound good too, because you've been fasting for 40 days. But I'm saying, listen, if you're going to come up to me with some bread and you bring me, just a loaf of bread from Walmart, I'm not going to look at it and be like, "Oh man, I want that." Now, if you brought me the cheddar biscuits from Red Lobster, or you brought me the rolls with the cinnamon butter from Texas Roadhouse, come on now, help me out, okay? I mean, even those biscuits at Popeyes are good. You know, I like those things. Just some good stuff right there. And I'm hungry. And I haven't even been fasting. See, the devil knew exactly where Jesus was at. What was bothering him. The physical fight that he was in. The weakness that he was in. And he comes and he says, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." He was at his door, right where he knew the temptation would be. And he knows the physical fight that you're in this morning. He knows the weakness that you're in. And he comes and says, "Are you tired? Listen, are you physically exhausted? Are you physically weak? Depressed?" He'll be at your door with whatever temptation it is. Often when it comes to physical tiredness or depression, he'll be at your door with sexual temptation. He knows your physical vice. He knows what your physical weakness is. The temptation of the flesh and the temptation of this world is hard enough. But just in case you have an ounce of character in you, he'll make sure that you're bombarded with those temptations on a daily basis. Mark it down that the devil is watching and waiting for you to become physically exhausted. You're vulnerable when you're tired. You're vulnerable when you're drained. You're weak. It's important that husbands, wives, you know, working families reward their hard work with family time. Been away enough. You don't need to be away anymore. Your family needs you. You need your family. You need that strength. The first line of defense against the attacks of the devil outside the Word of God, the first line of defense for a family is a family. Okay? It is for the husband, it's his wife. For the wife, it's her husband. The first line of defense for those physical temptations or any temptations is the family that God has given you. You got to learn to also rest in the Lord. You're tired, so find rest in the Lord. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Listen, if you find rest in spiritual matters, Satan has no weaponry against that. He can't fight that. So Jesus overcomes the devil's temptation. I told you we're not going to spend too much time on that. Temptation number two. You know, Luke and Matthew reverse these two temptations from each other. Matthew has it in one order, Luke has it in the other order. They agree on the temptations, just not on the order. Nobody said that these are temptations number one, number two, and number three, right? God didn't say it's in this order or anything like that. They are definitely the temptations that Jesus faced, however. And so Satan takes Jesus to the top of the temple and quotes Scripture. Tricky. And by the way, the devil quotes Scripture almost just as much as Christ does in this text. And he can quote Scripture and misinterpret Scripture just like many false religions do today. But look at verse 6, if you would. And he saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." He's saying, why don't you give the power that God has given you for your own personal agenda? Use your spirituality for your own agenda. That can be the person who maybe wants credit and recognition for how much they love God. I love Jesus, but they refuse to demonstrate that in the confines of what actually pleases God. There's a lot of talk, but no walk. Satan says to Jesus, "You've been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. You're 30 years old now. You've submitted to those who you've created. You humbled yourself under their authority. And now it's been 40 days since your baptism, and you've been suffering in this human body that you put yourself in. And now it's time to spread your wings and show how powerful you are and get some recognition." Be careful when a voice comes to you and tells you that you need to be recognized for who you are. There was physical temptation. And the second one would be improper perspective temptation. There's a third one. Satan comes to Jesus and takes him to an exceeding high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. Rome, Greece, China. You know, just think about that time frame. Maybe kingdoms of the world, regardless of time. I don't know. That's speculation. But he basically said, "Bow down to me, and I'll give you all of this. I'll make it where everybody worships you. I'll make it where everybody adores you, bows down to you." This one would be a prideful temptation. Pride. This one gets a lot of people. Everybody wants to be liked. Doesn't matter who you are. Boy, girl, man, woman, visitor, church member, saved, long time, saved since last week, unsaved, pride is really a source of sin. Even preachers. And the devil says, "Hey, if you'll do what I say, they'll like you." I was in youth ministry for a long time, and we poured our hearts into them. And teen girls think, if I'll just give them myself, the boys will like me. And guys think, if I'll just do this, she'll like me. And where'd they get that from? The counterfeiter, the devil. These are temptations summarized in a nutshell here in this text. And so look back at verse 1, if you would, though. This is where I want to focus this morning. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Spirit, capital S here. Third person of the Trinity. This was God. Okay? And so Jesus gets baptized. He pleases the Father, comes up out of the water, blessed by God. The Holy Spirit descends like a dove upon him and immediately sends him to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now that's interesting. Very clearly, our text says the Holy Spirit led him to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, to be clear, we know, and we preached on this about 5 weeks ago, we know that God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God's not going to tempt us to do wrong, right? God's not going to tempt you to do wrong. God was not tempting Jesus here. Jesus was going to be tempted by the devil, but God, knowing that, still led him to the wilderness. Why? Why would God lead Jesus to a place where he knew he would be tempted, where he knew there would be fiery darts? Why would God lead him to this place? There's a couple theories that I've looked at, that I've read, and we'll talk about a couple of them here that people come up with. And I'm not saying that any of them are wrong completely, but one of them is this: so he could fulfill Scripture. Hebrews tells us, and I mentioned it earlier, that Jesus was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. And so to fulfill Scripture, to show he had fulfilled Scripture, he needed to be tempted of the devil so he could fulfill Hebrews. But Jesus fulfilled prophecy. So the problem is Jesus fulfilled prophecy. Prophecy would have been before. Hebrews hadn't been written yet, but that's not the important thing here. Another problem is there would be other times where he would be tempted. So this story, listen, this story didn't have to happen for him to fulfill that text in Hebrews, even though Hebrews hadn't happened yet. Are you with me? There would be many other times where Jesus would be tempted, right? Right? And so this story didn't have to happen so Jesus would fulfill Scripture, is what I'm saying. There's another thought. G. Campbell Morgan said it was to initiate the assault on the devil. And to be honest, I kind of like the sound of this one. To initiate the initiator, the instigator, to initiate the assault on the devil. In other words, G. Campbell Morgan is saying that God led Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil so Christ could initiate a full frontal attack on Satan himself. And yes, in the text, Satan is the one that tempts Jesus. But G. Campbell Morgan is saying, but God led Jesus there. And so could it be that this is where God is telling Satan, I was at the Jordan River, and that's where I said, this is my beloved son whom I will please. But Satan, you weren't there, so I'm introducing you to him now. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Bring it on. That's kind of the idea G. Campbell Morgan is saying. And that, to my flesh, I like that. Okay, that, bring it on. You know, it's on now. Satan is very subversive. Nowhere else do you see Satan attacking like he does here. He comes to Eve in Genesis 3 and says to Eve, God is withholding his best from you. And Satan doesn't say to Eve, come worship me right now. He says, are you sure you want to worship God? He's very subtle, not usually out in the open. He's a snake, he's a liar, he's a manipulator. He's very subversive. And it is true that Satan wasn't led to Jesus. Jesus was led to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. God set this up. The battle has begun, and Satan was about to learn who Jesus was, for sure. Could it be that, though, that God has led you into certain situations because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? Could it be that you've been led into a situation because God has a solution to that situation and he wants to use you and Jesus in you to overcome that situation? Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I do think it's important that we realize God wants us to use us in situations, and And G. Kevin Morgan is saying here kind of the idea that God is saying, let's let the devil know right off the bat that my son is here to conquer the devil. And I like that, and there might be some truth to that. But however, when we ask the question, why was Jesus led here to be tempted of the devil? The answer to that question is this. This is what I want to get to. We don't really know. That's it? Yeah. Much like today when you go through trials and troubles and you say, God, why? He doesn't always just answer you, does he? You're having a hard time. You're under the attack of the devil. All manner of temptations and frustration. And you say, God, why? And you expect God to say, oh I'm sorry, let me stop and tell you all the reasons why. Let me explain to you. No, usually it's crickets. That wasn't very good, was it? I can do better than that. So I'm forced to believe then the reason why Jesus, at least one of them, one of the reasons why, is that Jesus would show us how you and I are supposed to act when we go through temptations and trials and we don't understand. And we have to add to that that Jesus, in his humanity, hard to imagine, didn't even understand all the reasons why. God the Father understood everything perfectly. It's hard to accept that, but you've got to look at what we talked about this morning, the Sunday school hour, briefly, when Jesus was in the garden and he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And while you don't know or understand why you're going through a certain problem or trial, God the Father is intimately aware of the problem and cares, doesn't he? He knows why you're going through it. So you have to trust him that he knows what he's doing. He knows what's best. He's guiding you and he's helping you to become what you need to become. And with Jesus, he was doing it so that he could be an example, and just like he did with everything else in his life. It's mind-blowing for us to think. God the Father, God the Son, 100% man, 100% God. Did Jesus know all that was going on? Did he not know all that was going on? And let's just be honest, we don't. That's beyond our comprehension. So, how do you get the victory? Number one, Jesus got victory over temptation because he was led by the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:16 says this. This is the take-home right here. These 2 points are the take-home. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the what? Flesh. Well, Jesus was walking in the Spirit. He was literally led there by the Spirit. He was able to defeat the devil because he was walking after the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit told him to go, so he went, and then he was tempted. But he had victory because he was led there by the Spirit of God. Are you with me? Much of our problem is we find ourselves in places and situations, relationships and circumstances where we have no business being there, and we find ourselves being defeated because the Holy Spirit never led us there to begin with. We were led there by our own temptations. We were led there by our own lusts. James 1:14 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed. Daniel in the lion's den? Problem. But he was there because he was following the Spirit. And what happened? Victory. David and Goliath? Problem. But victory because he followed the Spirit. Joseph and his brothers? Problem. Slavery? Problem. Imprisonment? Problem. But victory because he followed the Spirit. Abraham sacrificing his son? Problem. Problem. But victory because Abraham followed God. Jonah. That's the opposite example. He was swallowed by a whale because he did not follow the leading of God. But the city got right with God because he decided, I'm going to follow God. He finally submitted. God was gracious. But God never intended for Jonah to be swallowed by the whale. He resisted God. And he had those problems because he resisted the Spirit. Are you having your problems because you're resisting God? You're resisting the Spirit. I mean, it's just, it applies in so many areas. Why am I always so tempted with the sensual? Because you keep looking at the same junk on your phone. Well, I don't know why God's leading us through these financial hardships. Could it be that he didn't lead you to buy that truck or bass boat or off-road vehicles so you could drag your deer out of the woods? Maybe it didn't lead you to do that. I'm not saying those things are wrong. I actually want every single one of those things. But if you actually had peace about it, great. But if your lust for things and personal pleasure got you in that situation, then you have your answer as to why you're struggling in that situation. Been there. So differentiate between when we lead ourselves into temptation and when God allows us to. You say, Pastor, I can't handle this. Correct. That's why God wasn't going to lead you there. God will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. But if you willingly put yourself in a situation that you ought not to be, don't blame God if his mercy and grace to protect you is not there. Ask yourself these questions honestly. Did the Holy Spirit lead me to watch that filth? Did he lead me to look at that junk? Did he lead me to go to a place where people are known to address him modestly? Did God lead me to buy that? Did God lead me to do that? I'm just saying. Did God lead you to allow certain things in your house? Did God lead you to allow certain permissions with your kids? The situation, the struggle you're in, did the Holy Spirit lead you there? Or did you lead yourself? Jesus had victory because he followed the Holy Spirit. And he was right smack dab in the middle where he was supposed to be. If God leads you to it, you might want to write this down and remember, if God leads you to it, God will lead you through it. If God didn't lead you to it, don't expect God to lead you. Until you actually start following where he's leading. He was able to get the victory because he was led by the Spirit. And then, this is huge. He was able to get the victory because he was the same person in private as he was in public. He was the same person in the wilderness when he was all alone as he was when he was around other people. Understand the context, okay? He gets baptized. He's with a group of people. He's baptized with John the Baptist. He's blessed by the Father and immediately goes to the wilderness. And he's all alone except for one thing. The Spirit that led him there is still with him there. The Spirit that leads you there is still with you there. Imagine being by yourself for 40 days and 40 nights. Some of you think, well, that'd be kind of nice. to be by myself for 40 days and 40 nights. But imagine what he's going through. He's human. It would have been tough. He obeyed God publicly. He's going to obey God privately. He's not seen a human being for 40 days. Who's going to know? This is where so many sins happen, when you're alone. Instead of saying, what can I get away with? He's saying, I'm going to honor my Father, because the truth is, I'm not alone. If you're saved this morning, you're never alone. Now, that's a great thing, but it's also a fearful thing. And Matthew and Luke and Mark all tell the same story, even though none of them were there. Inspiration of Scripture, yes, but also indication that Jesus was by himself. Man wasn't there. God was there. And you know what gets us into trouble? When we live two lives, we have our public life and we have our private life. We have our Sunday life and we have our Monday life. Reputation is who you are when others are around, but character is who you are when no one is around. And who are you in the dark? In the quiet moments without your spouse, away from the church family, who are you in the stillness of your mind? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, the Bible says. And Jesus Christ pleased God in public and private. Question, do you please God in private? We look good at church, don't we? We show up and we sing the songs and we say, hi, I'm praying for you, And all these things, that's in public. Who are we in private? He was able to get the victory because he was led by the Spirit. He was able to get the victory because he was the same person in private as he was in public. And he was able to get the victory because he used Scripture. This is the common one that everybody goes to, but it's so true. When Jesus was tempted, he referred back to the Word of God. He said, it is written in verse 4 and verse 7 and verse 10. When you're faced with temptation, what do you refer to? What's your default setting? When you are under pressure, where do you go for counsel or advice? Facebook? Bad idea. Dr. Phil? Oprah? Those things won't get you out of sin. Scripture is Scripture. The Bible is what's powerful. Right? The Word of God is quick and what? Powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I will hide God's word in my heart that it might not sin against me. That word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I've made a covenant with mine eyes. How then can I think upon a mate? Mine eye affecteth my heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Scripture is an antidote to sin. He used the Scriptures. And listen, if that worked so well for Christ, I wonder if that wouldn't work for us. Unless, of course, you don't want victory over sin. That's the problem. What sin does God want to give victory over today? That the devil wants to distract you with? Heaven and hell await the answer. You say, how's that? If I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. I know. You can't lose your salvation. Praise God for that. Amen. Your effectiveness for the cause of Christ, though, is certainly hindered by the sin in your life. Right? Who have I not led to Christ? Because I was in sin in my life. Whose life did God not use me in because I was living selfishly? Yes, heaven and hell do await the answer. Absolutely. But the devil has no victory if we do what Jesus did. If you do what Jesus did, the devil loses. You know, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But actually, it says what? Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Be led of the Spirit. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, are you led of the Spirit in where you're at, what you're doing? Be led of the Spirit. Make your decision based on God's leading in your life. Be the same person when you seem alone, because you're never alone. And be dependent on this right here, the Word of God.